It's the Beatles.
That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, people keep saying it's the Beatles. I'm like, yes, that is the band's name. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at BasicallyASportsShow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
I was telling Zach about this before he signed on, Mike. We live in a world now where Jesse Ventura is endorsing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for president of the United States.
Well, Jesse Ventura is also an idiot.
Yeah.
Jesse Ventura's...
Did you hear his other big political controversy over the last month?
Mm. Oh, which one?
well, he was suing the widow of some soldier that died overseas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I only know about it because my stepdad.
Yeah.
He's one of those middle of the country, hardcore conservative. And he was in the army. So anytime someone says something bad about the army, he gets really mad about it. When he gets something in his craw, he will post 17 things on Facebook for like 2 weeks straight.
Yep.
Every time he sees something. So the amount of times I saw a post that says, and Jesse Ventura's still a douchebag.
Like, no. Jesse Ventura, have you guys ever seen his conspiracy theory show?
I tried to watch it a couple times, but I just couldn't get through it.
He's a big proponent of, like, the loose change videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he was trying to prove that 9/11 was an inside job, and he's like, if we could examine the wreckage from the World Trade Center site, we could prove what happened. And so, like, apparently they took the wreckage – they took a lot of, like, the scrap to some military base somewhere. And he goes to the military base. The guard's like, sir, you can't go past this checkpoint. He's like, I was a governor!
You know,
like, sir, you can't go here. What are you hiding? Like, God damn it, Jesse.
We talked about this a few weeks ago where I think Zach brought it up. There are so many people that would have to stay quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't even like the UFO conspiracy theorists where there are people that have come out that have been in the military. Now, whether you believe them or not is entirely up to you. Mm-hmm. But there have been a few people here and there that like say I've worked at Area 51 or I did this or I did that. And yes, there is this evidence to show blah, blah, blah. Not once have we even seen an outlier like that in the 9/11 thing. Not even the conspiracy-minded idiot that actually might have enough of a story you might even stop for a second and go, wow, I wonder. Not even that has happened with 9/11. That's how ridiculous the whole idea that it was an inside job is. I mean, there hasn't even been the, I worked in the Pentagon in 2001 and blah, blah, blah. You haven't even heard that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous.
No. And Jesse Ventura is out there like yelling at some like 18-year-old guard on some military barracks. I was a governor. Let me in. Like,
I think he's fun. I don't take him seriously. And
it's a shame because you know when I used to like him when he was like a wrestling commentator, like I'm too young that I missed his in-ring career. But when he was just like color commentator, he was a good color commentator. And now he's just like yelling at people over nonsense.
If Kareem does run for president, I'll vote for him because he's my favorite all-time athlete. How could I not?
I don't think he'd actually get any major parties nomination. Although, like, he might get a minor parties nomination because, like, the Libertarians are desperate enough or something.
I don't think he's actually running. I think that Ventura just nominated him, said that he should run for president. Because it's something about an article that Kareem – he does these opinion pieces for certain magazines and stuff. He wrote something in Time called The Coming Race War Won't Be About Race, blah, blah, blah. Anyway
– So the coming race war won't be a race war?
I guess. I haven't read it yet. But
race war is coming, but it won't be about race.
I haven't read it yet, so I can't make fun of it, but –
it won't be a war, and it won't be about race.
Well, yeah. But anyway, so Ventura and it looks like some other guy that's on his website with him here talking about this – have decided that Kareem should run for president based on that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've had people run for less reason than that, so I suppose. But I don't think Kareem's actually
going to
run.
If he hasn't actually said he's going to run and Jesse Ventura's just nominating people without their consent, Zach, you should run for president.
Well, I think Kareem should run and wear his Lakers jersey. I think that'd be awesome.
Like, just at all the debates and wearing in, like, a suit and tie, just, like, show up in a Lakers jersey.
Well, he could rip open his suit and tie and show his Lakers jersey. But think about it, Zach. How awesome would it be if at the end of every one of his stump speeches, he did a skyhook and walked off the stage? Come on. How could you not vote for that guy? That would be the greatest thing ever.
various reasons.
Well, okay.
various
real reasons.
They just roll out like a hoop onto each.
Yeah, it's
stage,
just it's right there just... off to the side, and he just does a little sky hook and walks off. Come on. But see, you guys, you're not taking it seriously because you think there's still hope. On the other hand, have walked completely off the reservation. I'm like, we're so fucked, it doesn't matter who's in office. That's the way I feel about it. From a political standpoint. Not as a country, I don't believe. But in politics, forget it.
The problem is that anybody who wins, no matter what party they're from, they end up being so vanilla and down the middle.
Right.
That it doesn't they can't do anything.
I honestly don't feel, in retrospect... And maybe this is going to get hate mail or whatever. I don't care.
Good. We could use some hate mail.
But, like, has the past 6 years of President Obama's term, has it really felt that different from the 8 years of George W. Bush?
Nope.
Okay, there's the Affordable Health Care Act, which probably wouldn't have gone under a Republican administration. So there's that. But, you know, Guantanamo Bay is still open.
Still in Iraq.
Still in Afghanistan.
Probably have to go back to other places there now.
Yeah.
Maybe the tax hikes, maybe the tax rates have gone up just slightly. But honestly, the percentages that Republicans and Democrats yell at each other about over tax increases is so goddamn minuscule.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same as it was 6 years ago.
I think so.
And it'll probably be the same in 2 years. And
that's kind of why
the whole system needs to be blown up, but that's a different issue.
I mean, that's kind of why I was more excited about the prospect of John Kerry being elected president than I was about Barack Obama, because I still had hope back then. By the time Barack Obama came around to be elected, his run came around, we'd already gone through of 2 years of the Democrats in control of Congress. And I was thinking, being the young, naive person I was back, I was like, oh, they're going to rein Bush in. They're going to force him out of Iraq. And then they didn't do any of that.
Nope.
And so by the time Barack Obama came around and everyone was like, oh, you got to hope and change. I'm like, fine, I don't have any hope anymore. No. It's gone.
He gave great speeches.
Yeah, he's a very good at running campaigns.
Very charismatic guy. But as a president, I would say that – he's about as effective as Jimmy Carter was. Now, you guys weren't around for Jimmy Carter?
From a historian standpoint, let me say, that is a...
I'm serious.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter's before my time, but I've heard the stories.
Yeah, I mean, but Jimmy Carter's problem is I think he was a truly decent guy, probably the last decent, truly decent person we've had in that office.
You don't like Ronald Reagan?
Actually, I do, believe it or not. I think a great deal of Reagan. It's funny. We were talking about this the other day, my girlfriend and I, because there was something I was reading about FDR, and I said, FDR is my favorite president. She goes, who's number two? I said, probably Bill Clinton. I said, and the third one's going to surprise you. She goes, what? I said, Ronald Reagan.
That's the thing. So many people in politics, and I think we're keeping it more or less bipartisan here, so I think that's okay.
I'm trying to be nice.
Okay. Greg, that's the thing. So many otherwise intelligent people, you know, take, say, Clinton and then, say, take Reagan. So many otherwise intelligent Republicans will refuse to give Clinton his due.
Right.
And so otherwise intelligent Democrats will refuse to give Reagan his due.
This is what I know about those two presidencies, okay? Mm. Before Reagan got elected, things were pretty shitty.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They really were. And I think you saw – and again, I don't want to use miracle as like a historical document. but it did give you an idea of how things were before Reagan took office. Before Clinton took office, things were pretty shitty. And I'm hardly a historian. I'm just telling you from personal experience. Before Reagan took office, things were shitty. When he was in office, things got really good. When Clinton took office, things were shitty and it got really good. That's what I know. So I've got to give credit where credit's due. Now, you can hate Bill Clinton all you want, but you can't deny what happened with the economy. And the same goes for Ronald Reagan. Everything was good while they were in office.
Has any other president devised a laser defense system? No.
Probably not.
Just shoot lasers at the Russians?
Yeah.
But I do believe that both Clinton and Reagan were what we needed at the time, especially in Reagan's case, because we had just gotten so – Jimmy Carter gave a speech, Mike, I'm sure you're aware of it. It's called the malaise speech, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we didn't need that. We needed somebody to come, you know, the It's Morning in America and all that. And that shit worked. And,
Jimmy Carter you know, like you said, I think Jimmy Carter in another era could have been a fine president. But like you said, he kind of really wasn't what the United States needed at that time.
No, we needed a gun-toting cowboy that was ready to kick ass, come into office. And
it's kind of like what happened. A lot of people on the left tend to dislike Margaret Thatcher. Personally, I see her honestly as a historical necessity because labor had been dominant in British politics for so long up until her election. And things had gotten so just sort of run down, and not as a result of, you know, labor being inherently unable to govern, but just for the fact that if you have one political system that dominates for so long, it's going to get tired, it's going to get run down, it's going to get corrupt. And Thatcher was what Britain needed in the late 70s and 80s, and Reagan was what the United States needed in 1980.
Well, the thing is, too, you can put any presidency under the microscope, going all the way back to George Washington, you're going to find problems. There are Democrats listening to the show right now going, how in the world can he say Reagan was a good president? And there are Republicans that are just losing their minds because I like Bill Clinton too. But the thing is that any presidency, no matter who it was, if you dig, you're going to find problems because nobody's perfect and you can't please all the people all the time. But at some point, you've got to do what's best for the country. And whether you agree with what they did or not, that's entirely up to you. But the fact remains that I do believe that of those two presidents, they both did what they thought, whether it was right or not, but they did what they thought was best for the country. I don't think we've seen that since. I don't think that we've had a president since Clinton that said, you know what, I'm putting the needs of the country first, damn everything else.
I think a big problem has been the 2000 election in the United States. It's not because of who won, but it's because of the way that it ended with the bitter recounts and like the court cases. And I think too, the 2000 election polarized the country like it had never been before. And it got to the point, I mean, everyone says like, oh, now all Republicans and Democrats are interested in doing is yelling at each other. Well, that goes back to 2000.
Yep.
That goes back to the 2000 election. That election ended in such a bitter manner, and it ended in the way that it ended, just sort of pissed everyone off. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of stuck in this perpetual cycle where in the United States, at least, there's people like it seems that the two sides are irreconcilable. And I think that goes back to.
Also right around then was the rise of the cable networks.
Yep.
With your Fox News, your MSNBCs.
So you had Fox News and MSNBC, and they're yelling at each other. And then, right, you know, people who watch those are yelling at each other.
And conservative radio was really taking off. And yep, it was just a confluence of events.
The 2000 election, it polarizes you. And if you're a Republican or a conservative, you want to listen. You put yourself in your conservative bubble, and you listen to Rush. You watch Bill O'Reilly. And then if you're in your – if you don't want to listen to any of that, you want to be in your liberal bubble, you go listen to Keith MSNBC.
Keith Olbermann.
And Rachel Maddow, yeah.
And I'll throw one more person in there. I'll throw Jon Stewart into that category.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I'm a conservative Republican type person, mm-hmm, but I like Jon Stewart. I could care less for his actual politics. I can step back from him and be like, yeah, okay, that's a funny joke about this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Some people make the mistake of using, you know, that is news.
Yeah, no, that's
forming
that
an opinion, which is
like I think there was a
my generation.
I think there was a poll done a couple of years back that said that Jon Stewart was the most trusted news anchor in America.
Right,
because I think compared to all the other networks, he's the only one that's not yelling at you. You know,
but using him as the most trusted news anchor is like me using the movie Miracle as a historical document. You really got to take like a whole bag of salt with that. But going back to the 2000 election for just a second, Zach, I wanted to ask you this question because you are a conservative. And I don't know, you were probably not quite old enough yet to...
I was 10.
Okay, so you really don't know. But looking
it's the only thing my grandfather talks about, so I have no politics.
Looking at the field back then, I know that there was George W. Bush and John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that, you know, going back to talking about Reagan and a guy putting the country first, I think a John McCain presidency would have been the best thing that could have happened to us. But what happened there? I mean, you've got to give credit to the genius of Karl Rove, and I think it's an evil genius, but it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because he managed to make John McCain look bad to the electorate, which I just don't know how you do that. I just don't know how you pull that off. But he made him look really horrible, especially in South Carolina, which basically cost McCain the nomination.
I can't speak to it with certainty because, like I said, I was 10. But
in 2000, I think he was the guy. And had he made the nomination, he's who I would have voted for. because he was known as a maverick because he was, you know, the guy that just, again, I really, and I could be crazy.
I think we also get to look at this in hindsight.
Yeah.
Because we know what's happened and what events have happened since then. Like, you can ask yourself, well, how would John McCain have handled 9/11 versus how Bush handled it? Or how would he have handled Hurricane Katrina or anything like that? You can't tell. You could make assumptions, but, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that McCain – I don't know how he would – I'm not using that as, like, he would have done it better. I'm just saying that I think of the candidates at that time, he was the better choice. But I will say this, too, to give President Bush II some credit. People like to call him dumb and all that, and maybe he is, but I really think a lot of how he acted for the 8 years he was in office was an act. Because if you go back and watch his gubernatorial debates in, like, the 90s,
yeah,
that was a sharp guy.
Yeah, and, no, I don't he's know, smart. I think he puts that on to kind of relate to the common
right,
person.
Right, and it worked.
Well, yeah. the fact of the matter is that since 1828 in the United States, the candidate who presents the more down-to-earth image is going to get elected. In 1828, Andrew Jackson was, by accounts, an uneducated buffoon. And he was running against John Quincy Adams, who was this New England, Harvard-educated, well-spoken guy. But, you know, people wanted to have a beer with Andrew Jackson, so they voted for Andrew Jackson. And so I think, I think George Bush kind of put on that persona to sort of help in his electability.
Yeah, you can put that in any of the elections of the last since then.
Sure.
You know, you look at even like the last one, you get people to build up the campaign of, well, Mitt Romney is too smart and he doesn't know what you need, the people. But Obama's like, oh, well, I'm President Obama and I talk to you like a normal guy. I'm one of you. Let's go have a beer, right?
I was surprised that Romney got beat as badly as he did, but I don't know. Obama's just so charismatic that you get a lot of people that.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit, I was not a fan of Obama in 2008. I was a Hillary Clinton guy.
They're saying she's probably going to get the Democratic nomination, you know, unless Kareem doesn't take it from her.
Well, the problem is, from what I understand, because I try not to bog myself down in this crap, there's not really a great candidate for anyone.
No.
Usually in the past, when even like 2 years out, you can think of like, well, this is the person that they're trying to amp up.
Yep.
This is who they're trying to ramp up to be the guy or the girl in 2 years. Is there anyone out there that I can't think of anyone off the top of my head?
Hillary, by default, almost.
Yeah, she's the only one that's got any type
right,
of
by default, but
gravitas
not
at all.
Really, not because people are galvanizing behind her.
No.
I guess her. And then the Republicans looks like a Ted Cruz, I guess?
William?
People talk to him, right?
Who, Mike?
What was it? President Harding. President Harding. I want to say his first name is William. For some reason, I'm blanking on Harding.
Warren G. Harding.
Warren G. Harding, yes.
Yes.
Yes, Warren G. Harding. When he was
I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he was elected, he was a Republican. He was elected. And they interviewed some Republican senator afterwards, a high-ranking member of the Republican Party at the time, said, "We didn't have any first-class players. Harding was the best of the second class we had."
Yeah. Well, but see, that's the other thing that's – it's interesting just how the way that the United States kind of governs itself like that, mm-hmm. where, you know, there's term limits and or all that sort of thing. And it's you know, you can count every 4 years you're going to have an election. If 4 years come and go, or 8 years, depending, and there's just no one to pick, you got to go with what you're handed, and maybe you get a crappy leader. That's just what the field was at the time.
I would like to see – I like Chris Christie.
He gets to lead you.
But that's just me. I mean,
Chris Christie?
Yeah, if you've got to pick a Republican out of the field. But again, I don't think he – first off, he's fat, which in this day and age.
Okay, Rob Ford proved that you can be a fat loudmouth and
Canada.
Still have success.
In Canada.
But that's being the mayor of a city.
Right.
It's a pretty big city.
Right, but that's the thing, though.
You could get a fat guy to be the mayor of New York or the mayor of L.A. You couldn't get a fat guy to be the mayor or the president of the United States anymore.
No.
President Taft.
Yeah,
sir.
But there wasn't TV back then.
That was a long time ago. And he also got stuck in a bathtub. We don't need
he
that.
He did.
Oh, my God. How great would that be in this day and age?
It is actually considered – like if you say this – if you put this in a history paper or you say this in a history class, this is actually a discussion that has actually garnered some significant attention from historians, that the reason Taft's presidency is considered lackluster was because he was so fat he lacked the energy to do anything.
Sure.
I was just sat there.
Just, I think Zach said it best a while back with the vanilla thing. First off, you've got to be a particular kind of idiot to even run for any type of prominent public office in this country, because you get shredded.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't care who you are, what side you're on, you're going to be destroyed. And if you're lucky enough to still be standing when it's all said and done, I guess you win. That's what it's come down to these days.
Both the 2004 and 2008 elections really kind of highlighted that. In 2004, you had John Kerry. In 2008, you had John McCain. And both really show that, you know, even if you have a military record, that's still going to get dragged through the mud by the other side.
That's
whoever,
what I mean.
Whoever the other side happens to be, it doesn't matter.
But anyway, so we've dedicated...
Welcome to basically a politics show.
Right, I was going to say we've dedicated the first 24 minutes of the show to the basically part of our name. But
coming up next, Rush said something amazing. And, never guess what Obama did this week.
And more important news, and what I think is far more important and far more earth-shattering news, mm-hmm. Braxton Miller is out for the season for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah, there goes your national title hopes.
Yeah, like we had any to begin with. But
aren't
anyway.
They going to – well, you know, if they had gone undefeated and win the Big Ten, you'd probably be in the playoff.
Yeah, but that doesn't – that,
you
all
get
that
your
means
shot.
You get your shot and you get your ass kicked by an SEC team and you go home.
But hey,
well,
you get your shot.
Isn't that Ohio State's football story over the past 10 years? Like, if they manage to get to the national title game, an SEC school just steamrolls them.
Yeah, I look back
now. There was that awesome game against Tim Tebow.
Oh God!
There was when they played LSU.
That was brutal.
Hey, but they beat Miami, not an SEC team.
But they did win a couple of nice bowl games in there. They beat who was it?
Did they beat Oregon?
Yeah, they beat Oregon. They beat Texas. I don't remember, but the state of football in Ohio right now, not so good. Not so good.
How are things looking for your Cleveland Browns, though?
Well, I'll be surprised if they win 3 games.
I believe Brian Hoyer's got the starting position.
Such
He's
as
given
it is.
A starting job, yeah. And Johnny Manziel not endearing himself to the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I don't know. To be fair, like, goddamn Johnny Manziel. I mean, if the team's going out of their way to make you feel unwelcome, are you going to be inclined to play along?
I'm not saying he should have gone. With being a starting quarterback, it's kind of like we just had with our president's discussion. Sometimes you have to look the part.
Yeah.
And if you act in a certain way and you present a certain vibe, sometimes you're not going to get the job, especially because he's trying to fight for this job, and there's already the persona about him that he's the party boy and he's the rebel. He doesn't want to listen to you. So then when you go flipping off people on camera, Johnny, you should probably not do that. You know, that probably didn't help his candidacy for the job.
Johnny Manziel, starting quarterback, San Antonio Raiders, 2016.
Here's the thing with the Browns, too, and this is something we'll talk about on the football show, coming soon to a podcast near you. The AFC North is terrible.
Yeah.
So if the Browns had get their crap together even a little bit, they have 2 games against the Ravens, who are bad, 2 games against the Steelers, who are bad, and 2 games against the Bengals, who might just have to win the division by default.
I don't want to get too far down the road because we want to save this for the football show, but right now, I got to think, honestly, at this point, I think the Steelers are your best bet to win that division because I don't think they were as bad as they played last year, and the other 3 teams are garbage. Everybody talked up the Browns defense. Okay, the third game of the preseason is the quote-unquote dress rehearsal. I watched that team last night give up a 3rd and 25. Couldn't get off the field. I saw him give up a 3rd and 19, 3rd and 12. It was horrible.
Hey, but they did tear Sam Bradford's ACL.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Rams fans. Because I thought the Rams looked pretty solid. I thought they were going to be – because they were pretty good last year. They had a good, tough defense.
They were okay.
And, yeah, I mean, I shouldn't say good, but they were tough. They were a tough out for anybody last year.
Another thing we get to talk about on the football show – we kept saying, well, maybe we'll give Sam Bradford one more try.
Yeah.
I think we can officially stop giving Sam Bradford more tries.
Do you think the Rams are wishing now that they had drafted a quarterback?
Sam Bradford is, right now, he reminds me of Rick DiPietro.
Yeah.
You know, some promise coming out, coming into the draft, But, you know, God damn it. If he could stay healthy for a full season, maybe we'd see what we had. But he can't. But you know who's actually been doing pretty well for the Rams? Michael Sam. Just
has he
sacked Johnny Manziel twice, and gave him the money sign afterwards.
Money sign. You know, Manziel did show a little bit of a flash of what he might be capable of last night when the Browns got
the
interception.
Have a 7-yard touchdown.
Yeah, and he showed what he can do, which was kind of nice. But my thing, after watching the Browns last night, and I've watched not the entirety of every preseason game, but I've watched the starters and I've watched
Manziel. Not help anyone that watches the entirety of every preseason game.
Right, exactly. Because sometimes it's fun in the third and fourth quarter because you've got these guys that are just playing their asses off for a job that you know they're not going to get. So that's kind of a hoot. But I got to thinking last night, and this thought hit me. There's a reason that Mike Pettine was not at the top of every list when a head coaching job opened up last year. There's a reason he was the Browns' fifth choice. And my thinking is that it's because he's probably not a very good head coach. Or even potentially a good head coach.
Well, everyone else turned them down.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? So I don't know what people were expecting because this was their, I don't know, fourth, fifth choice. This was a guy that when he was hired, everybody went, who?
I want to say something about the Browns because, you know, I talked about Johnny Manziel, like kind of making him feel unwelcome. When they were interviewing head coaching candidates, isn't it true that they would get promising coaching candidates, you know, in the room to be interviewed, and then the management would just like condescend to them?
Yeah, it was. I forget the guy's name. It was Mike Lombardi, and I think the guy's name was Ray Farmer, maybe.
Yeah.
That were in the coaching hiring process, and from my understanding is it was more the Farmer guy that was just a complete ass to a lot of these candidates, and that's why they ended up with Mike Pettine. But again, you know, Pettine may turn out to be the next Bill Belichick. Who knows? I'd really doubt it.
You mean he's going to have a mediocre tenure of the Browns, then go lead another team to three Super Bowls?
But if you think about it, though, I don't know how you can go into the season with a lot of hope if you take a step back and look at that and go, wait a minute. This guy was not even in the conversation. I don't know how many jobs were open after the end of last season. I don't remember, but there were a few. And his name never came up, and all of a sudden he's the new head coach of the Browns. And you watch them play, they look like a team that's being coached by a guy that really doesn't know what he's doing. They just, I mean, come on. Third and 25, okay, maybe once in a blue moon you give that up. But to see it happen twice within like 10 minutes where they had a team third and 15-plus and gave it up both times, that at some point, it's not your talent. You have to start looking at it and go, that's just bad coaching. Because they did some of the most boneheaded stuff I've seen. And this thing with Hoyer and Manziel, they have botched from the very beginning. What's that old saying? If you think you have two starting quarterbacks, you don't have one or something like that? Yeah. And I think that's where they're at. If Hoyer was your guy all along, and according to this article that was written by a Plain Dealer columnist named Mary Kay Cabot, that Manziel started losing the job pretty much the day after the draft. So, okay, they knew it was going to be Hoyer. Give him all the reps with the first team. But they didn't do that. They kept splitting it up. So now you've got two guys that really aren't ready to start playing in a week and a half. And it's just going to be a disaster. That's what I think.
Does that make you feel better, Greg? Getting it all out.
I have not even started. Wait till you hear me after about 3 weeks.
What about the Pettine Zoo and the dog pound? What can you tell me about that?
I can tell you that of the Browns' dumb ideas, that probably isn't even in the top 10. But anyway, the preseason.
How many games till LeBron is the starting tight end?
I don't know, but at least they'd be interesting. it's just the offense. But, you know, they've got this kid West. I can't remember his first name. A running back. It looks pretty good. But they're just going to be a disaster. And the preseason, I mean, obviously, the Browns are what I'm seeing here, so that's what I know the most about. But
well, Greg, here's my offer to you as a Colts fan. We'll give you Trent Richardson back, and you can give us whatever running backs you have, because, you know, or maybe a first-round pick.
I think I'll
– Give backs? No give backs?
I think I'll pass on that.
No?
But it's just – God, what a disaster this team is. It's just I don't know how anybody that didn't have the original Browns to have the built-in excuse of, well, they're not my Browns anyway. But like guys your age, how in the hell have they stuck with this for 14 years?
Because that's their – I don't know.
I just don't get it.
Like, yeah. If you're a young guy or a kid in Cleveland, what psychs you up about the Browns exactly?
I don't know. LeBron playing tight end.
Mike, as a young kid in Toronto, what psyched you up about the Maple Leafs?
I remember when the Maple Leafs were a regular playoff team in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Browns, like, but the Browns have made the playoffs.
Once. They actually should have won that game.
Yeah, too. They were up. I forget what the score was, but they were up big. And Pittsburgh is smart.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they were 10-6 that one year and didn't make it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With Derek Anderson.
Yeah.
At down.
And the great Brady Quinn, Derek Anderson controversy the following season. Boy, that worked out.
Yeah.
Is Brady Quinn still around?
Yeah.
He's the backup in Miami.
Yeah. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That just shows you.
But, you know, normally, under normal circumstances, when you figure out the Browns are going to be bad, which is about this time every year, if you go in with any kind of even a shred of optimism, you've got it figured out by now that they're going to be awful. You always fall back on Ohio State. Well, guess what? Their Heisman candidate starting quarterback is out for the season. So yeah. It's just
and
it's
also,
tough.
Zach, to your point, even though the Maple Leafs are terrible, at least they are a legitimate legacy team, and there's a lot of tradition and there's a lot of tradition and excitement wrapped up with them. Yeah. Say the Browns can say whatever they want. They're a 1999 expansion team. They are not the Cleveland Browns of old.
Well, are the Maple Leafs this hopeless?
No,
I didn't think they were.
They were one losing skid away from making the playoffs.
Well, and
be hard pressed to find any team in major sports that is hopeless as the Cleveland Browns seem to be right now.
Maybe the Chicago Cubs, but at least they're headed in the right direction, or the Astros, but not for such an extended period.
Yeah, but I think the Astros are trying to be bad on purpose.
Yeah,
so I think that's different.
Why are the Browns trying to be bad on purpose?
How do you be bad on purpose?
Yeah, why though? To what end?
To eventually get a bunch of draft picks and be better.
Yeah, they're actually headed in the right direction. They've got some good young players, and in 2-3 years they're going to be really solid.
Yeah,
I don't know that I could ever say that about the Cleveland Browns. I just don't think it's possible.
Well, to cheer you up a little bit about your horrible, horrible Browns, their schedule isn't that bad.
Oh,
they open at Pittsburgh,
right?
And they host the Saints.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
But it's the Saints. They're outdoors. It's by the lake.
I'm already maybe. Watching Dan Patrick on Sunday Night Football the week they play the Saints going. And Drew Brees broke an NFL passing record today in Cleveland.
But then Ravens, Titans, Steelers again, Jaguars, Raiders,
I'm telling you, this is the year for my irrational confidence Titans. They're going to be tough. Wait and see.
we'll save that for the football show.
I'm looking forward to that Browns-Jaguars game. I hope that lives up.
Just think what
Browns
that thing's
going to
look. Just think what it's going to look like next year when they play each other. Woo, that's going to be something.
Reflective orange helmets.
Speaking of uniforms.
They don't play any bad teams this year. Anyway.
There was something about uniform related I wanted to talk about. Damn if I can remember what it was now.
Maybe this will jog your memory. In the CFL.
Ah, yes. Your red blacks, Greg.
Uh-oh.
They're finally embracing the plaid.
Are they really?
For their signature.
You've seen the Saskatchewan watermelons.
Yes.
You've seen the Toronto
hockey jerseys.
Toronto Titans, yeah.
Well, Ottawa kind of copied Toronto's template a little bit.
Okay.
But, I don't know, Mike, are you getting the link?
Yeah, I'm finding the link now.
We'll just say that they're Lumberjacks and they're okay.
All right. I just want to point out, too.
They sleep all day.
I think.
Okay, here we go.
I think this is 5 weeks in a row now we've talked about the CFL.
The CFL's it's kind of a small picture, but you get the general idea of it. And if you click on the picture, it'll send you to a link which has it larger.
Oh, looky there, huh? Look at those helmets.
Mm-hmm. Plaid helmets. Plaid shoulder caps.
And you know what? The plaid shoulder caps is an idea I'd like to see them use full time, like the helmets.
I think if they use numbers on the front instead of the logo and put the logo on the side of the helmets, I might be okay with that.
I'm telling you, the plaid helmet's not bothering me all that much. It looks kind of like a bowling ball, but still, it's not bad.
But unfortunately, when they played earlier,
yes, that's right.
They did not have the plaid helmets. They just wore their standard black helmets.
Yeah, they had an issue in producing them
Apparently Reebok screwed up the production of them.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. When we're done with the Red Blacks, I will tell you what I wanted to talk about.
Okay. And there's one more piece of CFL news.
Okay.
CFL uniform news. Someone apparently saw the Jacksonville Jaguars helmet and thought it was a good idea.
Yes.
Oh,
look
no.
Look what the Calgary Stampeders have done.
Well, the Stampeders, they're doing it better, I would argue.
Yeah, they did it better.
Because you have the motion lines. The idea is – because here's the idea. The idea is that they're going so fast that the paint is coming off the helmet, right?
Oh, okay.
And that works because that makes sense. The horse isn't jumping into the darkness.
It's not a mentally – it's not a learning challenged horse like the Jaguar is.
Right. This one, it's running so fast the paint's coming off the helmet. I understand that. This makes sense.
I will say that of the two, this is definitely the better execution of that idea.
It also looks like the gradient is working a bit better. Like on the Jaguars, it looks like it's a solid.
Well,
like
it's a hard line. I mean,
it's a hard line. Yeah. But here it looks like it's not as nice of a gradient as I would have liked, but it's still kind of there.
Do you think it would look better if it wasn't matte going into a gloss finish like that? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, but that's the same thing that's going on with the Jags helmet. But I think that's also an illustration. I don't know if that's an actual helmet.
There were pictures. I'm trying to find like the okay. Yeah, here are actual. Okay, no, that was the wrong button. Okay,
I have a question, Mike.
Yes.
Why is the CFL doing all this?
Is
it just like is it a one-off thing, or are they wearing these for the rest of the season?
It appears to be a one-off thing. I think it's Reebok basically trying to get some buzz around just something, because Nike seems to have outmaneuvered them.
Oh, see, on these pictures, it's chrome. The horse is chrome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But does Reebok really need to outmaneuver Nike when it comes to the CFL in Canada?
I just think they're trying to do something, honestly.
Well, speaking
of... I think it'd be fine if they were doing different templates, but the fact that Winnipeg, Toronto, and Ottawa all look the same is troubling.
I really don't mind these Stampeders helmets all that much. I think they're kind of cool.
And Hamilton's jersey sucks, Mike.
I haven't seen... Hamilton. I'm not happy about that jersey. And I'm really not happy about the helmet that they teased with numbers on the side with an Impact font for fuck's sake.
Impact
font. Oh, my God. Somebody used Impact font on a helmet?
Yeah. Here's the teaser that the Ticats set out for their signature series helmets.
Okay.
Let's see this. Here it is.
All right. Hold on. Let me see here. Okay, I'm looking at Hamilton. Sorry about that. Hold on. Where are they here?
Yeah.
The Ticats helmets. The black with the
yellow
numbers outlined in gray in Impact font.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. But speaking of production and all that, I read that the Eagles – wear their midnight green jerseys because Nike can't get the color straight.
Right, so they're going to wear the black uniforms.
Great.
Yeah.
You know,
because the Eagles, they switched last year. They stayed with their old fabrics and made Nike just simply reproduce it.
Right.
Which is what teams like the Packers did.
Yeah.
And I think the Falcons did too. And the Falcons.
It's the Packers, the Raiders, the Falcons, and the Panthers.
Yeah.
Who have kept the old style of
templates. With the mesh jerseys as opposed to the new like solid fabric.
Right.
That Nike
and
uses.
So yeah. Okay. I guess the Eagles for some reason said, "Ah, screw it, we'll go to Nike's new fabric and template." So they have the big collars now, and they couldn't reproduce the color properly.
Nike cannot make midnight green apparently.
But see, that's weird because they have it on the road jersey on the collar.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they couldn't make it for the full.
Maybe the collar's a different material.
I was just going to say a different material, probably.
Yeah,
but
I don't think so. I think it's all the same.
But I guess my point is, Nike should have. You know, maybe Nike, you guys should have had this before you got them to switch. Maybe you should have, you know, made sure you could actually make them.
I just hope this means that they can never make it and they go back to the Kelly Green from before, and I'd be very happy.
Maybe that's why the Kelly Green was started as a rumor, because they said
Nike started that rumor.
Maybe. Hey guys, want to go to Kelly Green? It'd be super cool.
I just got that in stock.
I just find it hysterical that Nike can do all this stuff that they do to screw up uniforms and they can't reproduce a color. And let's be honest, that green that Philly uses isn't like it's terribly complicated or.
It's like dark teal.
Yeah.
It's basically what it is. It's dark teal. Like, I'm not into color production and whatnot, and I understand that, you know, across different fabrics, things look different. But Nike, you've had the NFL contract for, what, 2-3 years now?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's going into the third, yeah.
Into the third year? Surely, even though the Eagles had stuck with the older stuff, surely you've had time to figure out how to make Eagles gear.
I think you're probably right. It's just the material. They can't get it to match on that material that they use. But
so now
here's the thing. Then why not just go back to the old jerseys and reproduce those so they can wear their green? Because those black jerseys aren't getting it.
But by all accounts, the switch over to Nike's new template was made relatively late. So they made it. It was a late decision. And so they've already got everything shipped, so it's probably too late to go back to the old cut.
Wow.
Well, here's my question then. Have they made – surely Nike's made replicas in green.
Yeah.
So they can't – they can make the replicas.
But they can't make –
they can't make the authentics.
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe the replicas –
which I think it's made out of the same crap.
Yeah, but maybe it's off, but since you're not wearing it with a helmet, the rest of the uniform, it doesn't seem as obvious. Maybe that's all.
I would have to see one myself, I guess. But
well,
I just whatever. Nike, stupid.
Right.
Nike. I don't know. It just seems absolutely asinine that Nike, who can't go one uniform unveiling without talking themselves up as these great innovators and geniuses of design. Get stumped by making a dark teal jersey.
Right. That's what cracks me up.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's just Nike, and it's just going to be – so are the Eagles – I forgot to ask. Are the Eagles stuck with the black jerseys for the entire season or just for a little while?
All season.
Oh,
all
God, season. Really?
Yeah. Well, because remember, the NFL has their rules on what uniforms you can wear and how many times.
Yeah,
so
but
– basically, they've made the black jersey the primary this year, and if – they do get the green ones, it'll be their alternate, and they can only wear it, like, twice.
Don't you think the NFL could make an exception in this case? I think they can make
an exception. Do you think the NFL cares for people's thoughts and feelings?
Yeah, who am I kidding, right?
The hell? The NFL doesn't care. They just said, well, no. Well, but what if we want to wear throwbacks? Nope, can't do that.
Oh, that's just
And speaking of the NFL making stupid decisions, what the hell is up with the penalties?
Well, first is the penalties. Let's talk about that. Then I've got another note I want to bring up on the NFL.
So, I made peace with professional football, both of the American and Canadian varieties, that it is a start and stop game. It's the nature of the game. I understand.
Right.
But, God damn it, I try to watch preseason, and it's become even more unwatchable than it usually is because of all these incidental contact penalties that they keep throwing out.
Yeah, well, they're putting an emphasis on defensive incidental contact and holding and all that sort of stuff. And if you listen to some – like D'Angelo Hall, he says that the Seahawks got their championship last year, and now the rest of the league has to pay for the consequences.
Pretty much.
Because
I don't disagree with that.
It's hard to disagree with it.
Yeah.
Because the Seahawks were so physical, especially in the secondary last year, that you couldn't get anything going on them, right?
Right.
Okay. I've got.
So now the NFL is going to try and crack down on that, and they don't – because they don't. The NFL doesn't want defense. How dare you think that?
No. Exactly. That is my conspiracy. That's my conspiracy. I'm going to turn into Jesse Ventura for a moment here. Okay. I'm going or History Channel alien, Ancient Aliens guy, whichever you prefer to picture me as.
I'm going with Ancient Aliens guy.
Woo!
He's just funnier.
Indeed. But, okay, so the Seahawks, you know, makes the Super Bowl, one of the dominant teams in the league last year, and then absolutely destroy a team which had statistically the best offensive season of any NFL team.
Right.
So, and then after that, what happens? Every mediocre to okay defensive free agent gets a huge contract in the offseason because teams are trying to play catch-up to the Seahawks. They're trying to build defenses up.
Mm-hmm.
League sees this. League goes, well, shit. our, you know, we've been, you know, fans' ratings are at their highest when, you know, we're having Madden games played in real life with huge offensive outputs. If we go back to, like, the early 2000s when the Baltimore Ravens were the best team in the league, then we might lose viewership over this. So now they're trying to compensate with that via the officials. That's my conspiracy theory.
I just don't see why that's a problem. Defense is half of a football game.
Right.
And, if you're a good team, you're good at both.
Right. And tell
why
me,
is playing defense a bad thing? I don't. I just don't see. And the NFL wants to say that the ratings might go up and whatever. And while that, I don't think that the amount of points scored in a game is a direct correlation to how many people are watching that game.
Mm-hmm. No. But
I think more people prefer like
I think in the NFL's mind they say offense equals more viewers.
Right. I think a happy medium is like a 28-21 game.
Perfect. That's the perfect game if you ask me. 24-17, 28-21, even right. Like 35-24, something like that.
Right. But when it's 14-7 or 10-3, that I'll agree is bad.
Yeah.
But what's also equally bad is when it's 45-30.
Well, you guys remember that Packers-Cardinals playoff game a few years ago.
Oh, and everyone went on about how much of a classic it was.
That was like the greatest game ever. That game was garbage. There was no defense at all. None. Were you?
Yes.
It was what? Just Kurt Warner and Aaron Rodgers throwing up touchdowns all day?
And then it went into overtime, and Darnell Dockett got a strip sack of Aaron Rodgers, and they ran in for the touchdown and the win.
Yeah, but it was an awful game.
It was crazy to be there because it's just like touchdowns all over the place. Wow, this is insane. But over the course of the game, it goes to the argument of why we don't necessarily like basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, you score once. That's inconsequential. You're going to score again.
Yeah.
And then you go all the way to the other side of the spectrum as to why we like hockey. When a goal is scored, it means something.
Yes.
There's a lot more importance on a goal being scored in hockey or even soccer
than a basket.
Right, than a basket. And you don't want the touchdown to become close to a basket or a three-point shot where you can just get one if you need it. You want your scores to have some sort of weight to them.
Exactly, because there were so many games last year because of the de-emphasis or whatever you want to call it on defense that you knew if a team was up 6 points, whatever, and the other team got the ball with 3 minutes left, they were going to score. For the most part, I mean, unless you were just god awful on offense, but it's just I agree that the best games are the 28-21. You want to see some defense, but the 58-49 games are just they're terrible. Mm-hmm. Well, the Cowboys had a game like that last year. I forget who they played.
It was playing the Broncos.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I think it was like 45-42.
Yeah.
And that was another one where Tony Romo cost his team. You know, grabbing defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, but you know, I was thinking about this because they were talking about Romo on the Dan Patrick Show, and I thought, okay, you look at all the quarterbacks in the league. All right, the Cowboys aren't going to get Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to get Drew Brees. They're not going to get Peyton Manning. They're not going to get Andrew Luck. Who would you rather have than Romo after those guys?
Exactly. Romo's a decent quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, who's better besides the guys that you can't get?
Well, Tony Romo is the San Jose Sharks of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
How about that? Can we talk about the Sharks?
Oh, we will. We will. There's plenty of time to talk about them.
Well, yeah, we'll get to the Sharks in a second here. I want to bring up another thing about the NFL. Did you guys see that they're talking about charging the halftime acts to play at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because being in the Super Bowl, well, because the acts that they've whittled it down to this year are Coldplay, Rihanna, and Katy Perry, reportedly.
Katy Perry needs to pay the NFL for the exposure the Super Bowl will give her.
Right. That's exactly what they're thinking.
Rihanna and Coldplay need to thank the generous overlords of the NFL for allowing them to, you know, hawk their wares on national television.
Didn't the Bruno Mars concert...
These people don't have number one records or anything like that. Out world tours.
Katy Perry the single most downloaded artist on iTunes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, here's the funny part, too. They're not talking, say, $50,000 or even $100,000.
They're talking about paying them just at the Super Bowl.
No, they want a percentage of tours after the Super Bowl.
They want a percentage of the tour revenue post-Super Bowl.
Right.
Which is
insane. Who the hell is going to agree to that?
No one.
But here's the thing, though.
We're gonna have, you know what? If they really ask for that, get ready for "We the People" or whatever.
Right.
Up with the people. Is that what
oh,
it was?
Yeah.
Up with people.
Yeah.
Or some shit band that starts one of those Kickstarter funds and gets the money just as a joke to play, and they end up coming up with the most cash to play at the Super Bowl, and we get, you know, my band from high school is playing at the Super Bowl at halftime.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I mean, sorry, NFL. I mean, for most people that are there to watch the football game, that's the time when we get to use the bathroom.
Right.
And eat food.
I think the last halftime show I actually sat down and watched was U2. And when was that, 2001?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to bring up a point. Now, admittedly, this past Super Bowl wasn't terribly exciting, and it was pretty much over by halftime anyway. But still, the Bruno Mars halftime show got more viewers than the actual game got.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
So, on that note, the NFL, like, I'm sorry, no. Katy Perry, Coldplay, and Rihanna, three of the most successful musical acts in the past decade, they don't need you, NFL.
Right.
They don't need to pay you for the exposure you're giving them. They're just fine without you.
You know, and we've brought up before numerous times throughout the past couple of years that we've been doing this, what would it take for the NFL to start swinging back the other way? And I think this might have been the first step in that direction.
Right.
When they pulled this stunt, and if it actually comes to fruition, which I can't imagine it will. But if it does, there are going to be a lot of people that aren't going to – they're going to get kind of turned off by that because I mean, that's just a league.
If they start getting second-rate halftime acts,
yeah.
Then, I mean, people complain when we react to Jennifer – not Jenny Jackson's.
Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson.
Right.
I don't know. I can't remember. To overreact to Janet Jackson's boob, we have to dig deep back into pull people out of the coffin,
right,
and throw them up on stage because, hey, they're safe and they're old.
Oh, Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney was good, but I was embarrassed to be a Who fan after they played the Super Bowl.
I love the Who.
So do I.
But that was
embarrassing.
The Black Eyed Peas was the most ridiculous halftime show I'd ever seen.
Well,
not in a good
way.
It was
just the Black Eyed Peas. It was like the Black Eyed Peas were the main, like, the headline. But then they brought in somebody else for every single song.
Yeah.
It
wasn't just the Black Eyed Peas. It was the Black Eyed Peas.
It was like Usher.
And Usher.
And then like
MIA.
Slash.
And Slash.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Madonna one was actually okay, I thought.
Prince was pretty good.
But
In the Rain.
Prince surprised me in how good he was. Basically.
Prince in the Rain with his phallic shadows up against the giant screen.
But I'm going to say this about it. You guys talked about, like, this is the NFL kind of swinging the other way. This is just almost storybook perfect in the NFL. You have this unprecedentedly successful entity. They're doing everything right. Even the games that have absolutely no playoff implications get huge ratings. Mm-hmm. Everything's going great, but you know it's never enough.
First,
it's a couple games on Thursday. Now they want to make Thursday nights a regular thing. Oh, the product's becoming oversaturated. Now they have the gall to demand payment to play in the halftime show. It's like,
at what
point
do they
kill
the golden goose?
Yeah, but that's
guys,
the thing.
Rewind. 10 years ago, you were on top of the world, and there was no downside to any of it. But it wasn't enough, and you had to keep pushing it.
Well, and you combine this nonsense with the concussion thing, which has come up over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. They're headed in a direction. If they're not careful, they could kill the golden goose pretty quickly.
Yep.
I mean, and God forbid, and I hope it never happens, but the day, and I think it will happen, it's just a matter of when, not if, someone's going to die on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they've got to be careful because they're at the very apex. I don't know how they could possibly get more popular than they already are.
But that's the thing is, like, if they didn't do any of the changes they've done over the past like 5 or 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and they just if they had stayed pat and they didn't push the envelope, they would still be. I think they would still probably be as popular today as they would have been with or without the adjustments they've made.
I agree. I mean, because if anything,
there was no reason for them to push it,
right? And with these little changes, like the taking defense out of the game and things like that, it's now. Granted, it's not enough to make me stop watching, but it's a little chip away from my support where I go, you know, I'm getting a little tired of this, and I'm getting a little tired of that. And now, granted, I'm not their target audience, but eventually the day is going to come where they're going to chip too many things away. People are going to be like, screw it, I'm watching college football, or I'll watch something else on Sundays. And you know, it seems impossible now, but boxing. back in the 50s, from what I understand, was the biggest thing in the world. And look what happened to that.
I'm saying, like, maybe 10 years ago, maybe the odd game on Thursday night once every couple of seasons. You only had the NFL on 2 days, Sunday and Monday. You actually had time during the offseason to miss football.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was fine. And the NFL didn't get full of itself and start demanding acts pay them for the rights to perform at their events. And it, and again, it's like, look, I have nothing against the capitalist desire to go out and make money. But the NFL was making plenty 10 years ago. And that should have been far and away more than any other league, any of their competition. And instead of just saying, you know what, this is perfect, they kept pushing it. But when you, what happens when you keep pushing it, when you already have enough and you keep pushing it, it's going to fall back on you. And that's what's happening.
They really need to just calm down and say, you know what, we've got the greatest sports product ever. And leave it alone. Quit messing with it, because
and with these penalties now, these incidental contact penalties, right. this is affecting the very act of watching the game. This isn't something off to the side that you can ignore while you watch the game. This is something that's going to make the games tedious to sit through.
Well, let me run this.
I mean, like you compare it to baseball right now, and one of the big talking points of baseball is how long the games are.
Oh my God!
And how start and stop, and how slow the baseball games are getting.
Yeah.
You start doing that to football, and the problem is baseball's starting to lose its younger audience because they have a shorter attention span.
Right.
And if you start doing that in football, you're going to start losing the youth demographic in football, and they're going to go away. They're going to go find something else that doesn't start and stop, that's constantly moving. Like soccer.
I don't say that as a joke. Soccer and hockey are two games that they just keep moving, and you've got to do that.
Yeah.
You got to have pace to the game. And it's just but I was going to ask you guys, do you think that, because I know that the competition committee said, okay, we want to emphasize the illegal contact. Do you think the referees are doing this to make a point? Like, sometimes umpires in baseball do that.
I thought I had heard initially that they were just doing it to make a point, to emphasize their point. But they were going to pull back a little bit once they hit the regular season. Because they could do it in the preseason, and yeah, you might complain about it, but it's not going to affect the greater football-watching audience.
Right.
But apparently the VP of officials said they're going to call it the same way in the regular season.
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine that'll be the case.
No, because
people will complain.
They're already complaining about it.
Right, exactly. You're going to complain about preseason where nobody gives a damn.
But yeah, it's not even just guys like us on a podcast complaining about it. The national media, ESPN, and the big names are complaining about it. It's not just us as fans. It's the media is on board, too. It's absurd. It just gets tougher and tougher to – I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. I have a love-hate relationship with this league.
They just need to scale back. They need to realize that, you know, they've – like you said, Greg, they have the most popular, successful sports product out there. And they just need to say, okay, let's not overextend ourselves and let's be content with being so much ungodly richer than everyone else.
Let's talk a little about our favorite hockey team, the San Jose Sharks.
So, the Sharks before the season, before this offseason, you know, they go up 3-0 on the eventual Stanley Cup champion Kings.
Right, yeah.
And they collapse in epic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Was it really epic, or was it just in Sharks fashion? Because there's a difference.
They got blown out pretty badly.
They're
those
only
last
like the fifth
games.
Team to lose a 3-0 lead.
That's a fair point. Okay, go ahead.
So, and you know the Sharks. No one knows how to fix them because they're always a good team in the regular season. They're a very good team, but they just can't win. And so you know they talk about, well, do we trade Joe Thornton? Well, no, he's still one of the. He's still the best passer in the NHL, and he constantly puts up like 80 assists a season, so you don't want to get rid of that. Well, what about Patrick Marleau? He's a bum, right? Well, no, he still scores 30 goals a year, and he's kind of still fast, so, you know, he's still productive. Like, well, okay, then the hell do we do? Well, but first, if you remember, they fired the color commentator.
Because that was clearly the problem.
It's an interesting approach.
Then they go sign all the goons to the San Jose Sharks.
You know Rafi, you know that Rafi Torres fellow? We need more of him.
Yeah, so let's go get Mike Brown and John Scott. That's who we'll make a line out of.
That's going to be fantastic to watch, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and Rafi Torres is going to be out for like 4 months, too. So the goon line not fully assembled. And then there was the controversy, well, maybe they need to sign Ice Girls. And so they get Ice Girls, but people don't like the Ice Girls. But now we're getting close to training camp, so now it's time for the Sharks to really get down to brass tacks and really kind of get this thing going. So when Todd McClellan first came into the Sharks, they thought, well, they need a change in leadership because that's clearly the issue. So at the time, they stripped Patrick Marleau of the captaincy and gave it to Joe Thornton. Well, a few years later, we're still at the same point, and so now it's stripping Joe Thornton of the captaincy. But it's just – they're not stripping him of the captaincy. They're not going to tell you that. And they're not rebuilding either, they'll have you know. They're just
rebuilding what those schmucks in Calgary do.
Right. They're just starting a clean slate. Joe Thornton can still earn his captaincy back, but it's not out of the question. They're just starting with a clean slate.
A clean slate with more or less the same core with a bunch of goons.
Yes. So, San Jose Sharks, the epitome of the model franchise.
You know, this just strikes – first of all, I imagine Joe Thornton doesn't want the captaincy back because without that C weighing him down, he's probably going to score like 100 goals.
I know. They shouldn't have worn captaincies at all. They should just no A's or C's or anything. I mean, that layer of fabric makes him a little too slow.
And but just in general, when I see the Sharks flounder in trying to fix this, I mean the Maple Leafs – the Maple Leafs, you know, constantly rebuild because they kind of don't know what they're doing. But at least they understand the basic premise of what a rebuild is.
New Sharks players.
Exactly. The Sharks don't seem to understand. And I think it's, like you said, Zach, because they've been good for so long.
Right. There's nothing to fix. I mean
– that's what I was going to say.
Simply, it's – they don't have it. Mm-hmm. It's not something you can point to. They have talent. They win games.
You can't – with a team that's as good as they are, I mean, you can't really blow it up. The fan base would never stand for that. So,
it's kind of – I mean, you look just up the bay a little bit to Oakland. It's the old Moneyball Oakland A's problem.
Exactly. That's a great analogy. Yep.
You're a good team. You win a lot of games. You win probably the most games in – I think the Sharks probably have the best record over like the last 10 years in terms of regular seasons.
Yeah,
and in the Oakland A's of that time were the same thing, but they just got to the playoffs and could not win. And these Sharks, they get to the playoffs and they can't win. And Oakland never blew it up. They never tried to rebuild. They stuck with what they had because it was
fine.
Everyone could see they're a good team. They're the number one seed. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, the law of big numbers says you have to win eventually, right?
Supposedly,
but then as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan and as a Cleveland Brown fan, you and I are differently, don't we, Greg?
But that's the thing, though. It's not like the Maple Leafs or the Browns are consistently making the playoffs every year and getting right to the doorstep and blowing it. Well, actually, the Browns used to do that. They don't anymore. but you know, I mean, in San Jose's defense, I don't know what you do, really. I mean, if you blow it up, that's just wow. Is that going to send a bad message?
I also think the Sharks. The Sharks are just one of these teams, and this kind of goes back to the best fans in the NHL mentality, in that for so long they've kind of viewed themselves, kind of sealed themselves off in their own little bubble, where there's only one way to do things, and that's the Sharks' way, and the Sharks always win. And now it's gone to the point where, you know, this constant playoff flaming out is becoming noticeable. It's becoming embarrassing. You've become the laughingstock of the league. It's obvious you need to fix something, but because you've conducted your team business in this bubble, you know, only doing things this one way for so long, they don't know how to fix it. And so they think, you know, yeah, we'll get Ice Girls, or we'll fire the color commentator, or, you know, oh, we'll just, you know, strip Joe Thornton of the sea, and we'll see, you know, we're starting fresh. That'll shake things up. No, it's not going to shake things up, guys, because the color commentator and the Ice Girls weren't your problem, and now you're saying you're starting with a fresh slate, only it's still the same core group of guys who blew a 3-0 lead to Los Angeles, only now you've augmented them with a bunch of slow, physical goons who, you know, perhaps who, you know, before this, I had only really, you know, given them much of a chance as Brian Burke fodder because of truculence.
Well, let me ask you. Oh, go ahead.
But now you've gone out and signed them guys, so I don't know what the hell you expect. It's still the same team, only now with a bunch of goons.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Let's say just for a second, okay? Let's take Joe Thornton. Would it – what? I'm sure they could probably get a pretty decent haul and a trade for him. Not – obviously you don't – but let's say they go out and they trade him and they get three guys that are at the caliber of – let me think of who a good example would be. Like a Brandon Dubinsky type from the Blue Jackets is who I would think of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, does that help them? I mean, is that really going to –
It would be admitting that they're rebuilding, though. It would be a rebuilding move. It's a good move in terms of going about a rebuild. But the problem is, and again, because they've been so good for so long and they've conducted themselves in this sort of bubble, they're afraid to tell their fans that we're rebuilding because their fans quite – and I don't want to speak for all Sharks fans, but for the most part – they're kind of full of themselves, and they kind of think that rebuilding is above them.
To bring it back to a reference I made earlier when we were talking about the Cowboys and Tony Romo, it's kind of the same thing. Like, Tony Romo, very good quarterback. I mean, who else are you going to get?
Right.
If you trade Joe Thornton, who else are you going to get? He still leads the NHL in assists practically every year. He sets up on the half wall on the power play. He's very effective. Patrick Marleau still scores goals. I think... From what I understand, this has been one of the biggest topics of the NHL media in the offseason. And, you know, despite the NHL is my NFL, I have no offseason with it. I try to keep in discussions like as much as I can.
And you would have made a great Canadian, Zach.
I would have. I really would have been a great Canadian. I'd be born out of Moose Jaw.
Oh, there you go.
Roaming the prairies. Anyway.
Curls during the off season.
Yeah, man.
There you go, man.
Yeah, I need to. You know what? When I graduate, and I've actually seriously considered this because you know I want to do a career in hockey broadcasting. I might just move to Canada because that's where the hockey jobs are, right?
Yeah.
But basically, what people have kind of come to the consensus is if there's one thing that maybe the Sharks need to improve, maybe they need better defensemen. Because the Kings are proving that if you have the solid core defenseman and a good goaltender, you can win almost anything except for in the regular season because screw you, Kings.
We'll just get old, come in as a seventh seed and then win everything.
And the idea is, like, the Kings have Drew Doughty. He's a game changer on offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
The Sharks don't have a Drew Doughty. They have Marc-Edouard Vlasic, who's very good. He was on Team Canada, your gold medal winning. Team Canada. And I mean, they're moving Brent Burns back to defense, and he's okay. I don't know.
That's my question, though. That goes back to what I brought up before. This is the problem. Are there, say, a couple of defensemen out there, and obviously you're not going to get two star defensemen. Let's say there's like, you can make a deal. We say, okay, we're going to give you Thornton. We'll take these guys on defense to come back. Is that a worthwhile move for the Sharks to make? You know,
I think if the Sharks,
if they could get not necessarily equal value, but reasonable value for Thornton, where they could really shore up their defense, would it be a smart move? I guess is my
honestly,
question.
I think if they could have made a move where they talk to Nashville and say we'll give you Joe Thornton and maybe somebody else for Shea Weber, put Shea Weber on the Sharks. I think that's probably something to really improve them.
In terms of
their overall makeup and their identity, but
honestly, Sharks fans, you know, precious feelings aside, this is a team that needs to rebuild. Yes, they're consistently good, but it's gotten to the point now where it's clear this core isn't getting it done in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd blow it up to an extent. I'd see what I can. I'd get as much as I could for Marleau and Thornton, and then go from there.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not suggesting
that they trade those guys for prospects. I'm talking about shoring up what are clearly problem areas.
Mm-hmm. But see, that's the thing too, is that they're not necessarily clearly problem areas.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
It's just it gets to a point where you're a good team, but you're not going to win.
Yeah,
and you have to at some point. They just need to accept that and say, we've done what we can for almost 10 years with this. we got to do something. And maybe you do have to blow it all up and suck for a year or two. Maybe that's what needs to be done. It's a hard decision to make to say, well, we're really good right now.
Right.
If we don't change anything, we're still going to make the playoffs for probably the next 5 years.
Well, yeah, and it's
a problem that Calgary had for a while.
Well, and yeah. You see it in football too, like the Eagles teams back in the mid-2000s were NFC Championship, 4 years in a row?
Mm-hmm.
They made one Super Bowl and lost, but they were kind of like that. They were really good.
Right.
But they didn't quite have what it took to take the final step.
Right.
And sports, the Cavaliers were like that in the 80s and the Jordan era Bulls. I mean, it's just one of those things in sports. And really, unless they've got two choices, they can either blow it up or hang in there and try to win while these guys are still young enough to get it done.
Right. But I think when even taking it down like a notch, like even if the Sharks go into decline, I think that they're going to be like Calgary over the last 5 or 6 years.
Oh, you don't want to wish that on anyone.
Where all you're doing is trying to be eighth or ninth place every year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just trying to hold on to that playoff streak and keep going and keep going and keep going.
But I think
And you just don't realize that maybe you just need to go down for 2 years.
But I think
suck.
But I think Sharks fans are afraid of that because
exactly.
They're like, well, we've been this model franchise. We've been like the expansion team that worked, ignoring all the other expansion teams that worked, because the Sharks fans do that. But like, they have this self-image of themselves, and there's just no room in that for a rebuild. But it's clear that's what needs to happen, because there's no way this core is going to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. We might be eating these words come May, but
no, knows? You know what? Every single
– I think last year, some of the hockey pundits, when they make their predictions, some of them finally said, well, this is the year that they're going to do it this time. They gave one last ride with the Sharks. There is no one, not a single person, that will pick the Sharks to win anything ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Until they win, no one's going to pick them to win. No. Ever,
but you see, that's the thing.
Again.
For the past they've done this for 10 years, this song and dance. For the past, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years. For the last 2-3 years, you've had people saying, oh, you know, this is going to be the year. We all finally give up on the Sharks, and then they do it. But no, it's just more of the same.
Yeah.
This year, this past season, you had people going, oh, well, you know, the Sharks, they look pretty dominant against LA. Maybe this is the year that they finally figure it all out. And then, didn't happen.
I think people are starting, and Sharks fans in particular, I think even Sharks fans are starting to get fed up with – I mean, for a while, we kind of joked and say, well, they're happy. They want to keep this up. But at a certain point, as a fan base, you have to just say,
oh, yeah,
we're done.
Yeah, I mean –
like, you're a good team. We like watching you play, but we're done.
That's the thing. I mean, you get tired of this after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like you said, Greg. It's like what you said back when we were watching this collapse happen. You said yourself, like, if you're a Sharks fan, like, how do you get pumped up for the regular season?
Exactly. What do you do?
I wouldn't buy season tickets anymore.
No, why bother?
Yeah, that's like $2,000 that I don't have to spend because I know you're going to be in the playoffs. I'll buy playoff tickets. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be there when you need me to be. But why would you waste $2,000 a seat for a full season?
Well, that's the thing. What do you do? That's it. Just comes down to that. You're the Sharks. You're a good team, and like we've pretty much established here, they're in a position where they've either got to blow it up or just keep going with what they've got.
Yeah. They're giving it one more kick of the can.
Well, I mean, the way they came out in those first two games of the Kings series, the first three for that matter, you thought, well, geez, this might be the year.
Yep. And if they had scored one more goal somewhere and they beat the Kings, we probably don't even have this discussion.
Yeah.
Although I would argue that they would have met their fate in the next round against my vaunted Anaheim Ducks.
it's the Sharks. It's entirely likely that if they had gotten past that first round, they probably would have blown it in spectacular fashion in the second round. Because
they would have either lost to the Ducks. I can sure as hell bet you they would have lost to the Blackhawks. And
No, the Blackhawks.
Who knows? Maybe they lose to the Rangers if they somehow magically.
Well, if Justice and Michael J. Fox had prevailed, we could have had the Sharks against the Blue Jackets last year, or the Ducks. I mean, excuse me, the Ducks and the Blue Jackets. That's what it should have been. Should have been.
What should have, could have been.
Yep.
But I mean, the Blue Jackets better watch their back, because they're dicking around with their best player right now in terms of contracts.
Oh no, really?
They're playing hard to get with Ryan Johansson.
Oh, for God's sakes!
Yeah, because
you're not in a position to do this, agent. Columbus.
He's a man of money. He's going to be the next great power center in the NHL.
Yeah,
but they're trying to nickel and dime him.
That kid came on strong. It seemed like as they got closer and closer to the playoffs, he just kept getting better and better and better. And you could just tell he's going to be a good player. They did the same thing with Bobrovsky last year, too, though, if you remember.
Yep.
The year before last, they did. What the idiots?
Columbus, you're not in a position to do this.
No.
Just pay the man his money.
Lock him up.
If you have a good thing, you got to hold on to it.
Exactly. Lock him up. Make the deal.
Guys,
jeez. Yeah.
Guys, check this out, guys.
Uh-oh. Let's see. What's Mike laughing about?
This cracks me up every time.
Oh yes. Yeah. That's in the NHL.
That's going to be our cover photo for this week's episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach's Tabs.
Zach's Tabs!
Strong comeback, Mike. Well done.
Thank you.
Well, we're getting into football season, and of course, what's one of the best parts of football season? The food.
Uh-oh.
Did you see what the Green Bay Packers are rolling out this year?
Let me think here. It's going to be fried cheese with bacon and lard.
Here's a link to the article. There's going to be a couple things. The first thing you see is called the horse collar.
Oh, Lord.
A 22-inch kielbasa and
yes,
bratwurst
that has both
nacho.
Beer cheese and fried sauerkraut on it.
I wasn't that far off with my guess with looking at this thing. Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is it wrong that I want to try it?
Mm-mm.
I'd try it. I don't know if I could finish the whole thing.
Yeah, I think we'd have to split it between the three of us. But yeah, I mean, it looks tasty, but goodness.
And one of the other items, they're called brachos.
Yeah, I see these.
Which are bratwurst nachos. Which they're in a giant tub. And, of course, the picture's next to a football, so you can get a scale of how big this tub of brachos.
They give the price on these things? I got to think that's going to be pretty expensive.
They did not give a price.
Of course not. But I would try either one of these. They both look good. They're both a heart attack waiting to happen, but they'd be delicious, I'm certain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wisconsin. Keeping America fat.
Like I said, you know, lard, cheese, and bacon. Something I should have thought of the bratwurst because that's more of Green Bay, but close enough.
Yeah. Tying back to something we talked about early in the program, the Chicago Cubs, this week they got to say, thanks, Obama.
Uh-oh.
If you saw this week where the Cubs had issues putting out their tarp on the field and caused a game against the Giants to be ruled a 2-0 loss for the Giants, the Giants protested and they got the first protest upheld since 1986. But the Cubs, reportedly the reasoning that they had such issue rolling out the tarp, and you can see some pictures of how the tarp ended up looking here. They said that the staffing issues that hamstrung the grounds crew Tuesday during a mad dash with the tarp under a sudden rainstorm were created in part by a wide-ranging reorganization last winter of game day personnel. Job descriptions and work limits designed to keep the seasonal workers, including much of the ground crew, under $130 per month, according to numerous sources with the knowledge. That's the full-time worker definition under quote-unquote Obamacare, which requires employer-provided health care benefits for big businesses such as a major league team.
So basically, they had to cut a bunch of their ground crew because of Obamacare.
Yeah. And it's apparently they sent some of the ground crew home early because they said that they may not need them that night because they wanted to keep their hours under the government mandate for Obamacare.
Yeah, I can see where they'd be a little upset. Now, granted, they're not in a pennant race, so I wouldn't get that bent out of shape about it. But still, I think they've got a fair point.
But the Giants were the ones that were affected because they were charged a loss, and they're trying to catch the wild card and the Dodgers.
If you scroll down though into the comments section,
Deadspin comments are the greatest.
It's Barack Obama photoshopped into a White Sox uniform.
No, he's wearing that.
Yeah, he's a White Sox.
Oh,
he's
a White Sox. Oh, he's a White Sox fan.
He sure is. Yeah,
I thought he would have been a Cubs fan.
Nope, White Sox. Yep.
Yeah.
And he throws like a girl.
Mom jeans.
That's no kidding. I shouldn't say that. That's sexist. He throws like a guy that can't throw. How's that?
We'll move.
Always the bastion of social progress here at Bass.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll move across the pond.
Oh.
To the other football. And you think our football is the only one that has racism and sexism and text message scandals? No, no. I told you in my very kind of short Premier League preview about Crystal Palace.
Right,
where
yes.
Their manager had quit literally 2 days before the season started.
Yes.
So in the process of – they were going to hire a new manager. And let's see. Who was it? Former Cardiff manager Malky McKay.
There a better name in soccer than Malky McKay?
Well, you got to say it in an English accent.
Malky
McKay.
Right.
Malky McKay.
Soon to be the new boss at Crystal Palace. He was expected to become the manager, but was removed from consideration after reports quickly emerged that his old team, Cardiff City, had sent a report to the Football Association detailing a series of offensive text messages exchanged between McKay and Ian Moody, who was the head of recruitment for Cardiff City. Moody was hired by Crystal Palace as sporting director, and he assumingly had some influence in trying to hire McKay. He also resigned the other day.
What were in the texts?
Well, there's a sampling.
Well, this could be good.
Okay. okay. On the arrival of South Korean international Kim Bo-kyung.
Uh-oh.
Fucking chinkies.
Fucking, oh, no.
There's enough dogs in Cardiff for all of us to go around.
Oh.
Oh, no.
On football agent Phil Smith. Go on, fat Phil. Nothing like a Jew that sees money slipping through his fingers.
Wow.
On another a club official, he's a snake, a gay snake, not to be trusted.
Wow.
On a list of potential signings for the team, not many white faces amongst that lot, but worth considering.
Wow.
On a player's female agent, I hope she's looking after your needs. I bet you love a bounce on her falsies.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Well, and, you know, you got to give him credit.
A message sent to many members of Cardiff's staff, a picture entitled Black Monopoly, where every square was a go-to-jail square.
Oh, wow. Oh, you got to give him credit. He's an equal opportunity offender. It seems like he got everybody in there.
Yes.
Wow.
McKay's statement, that was released to try and defend him somewhat. These were two text messages sent in private at a time Malky felt he was under great pressure and when he was letting off steam to a friend during some friendly text message banter.
Oh, come on. I mean, we've all been under pressure, you know, with various things throughout our lives. At no point have I ever thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to go out and just defend the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, I've never been under so much stress, I think. I'm just going to be racist towards everyone.
And fellow Premier League manager, Harry Redknapp of Queen's Park Rangers, he was explaining – he likes Malky McKay. And his explanation of why he doesn't think he's such a bad fellow. I'm not condoning what he has done, but show me someone who has ever made a mistake and I will show you – who has never made a mistake and I will show you a liar. He hasn't murdered anyone. He hasn't raped anyone. And he isn't a pedophile.
Not yet.
Yeah, so he's not a rapist.
But this
that's the standard. If you're not right. A murderer, rapist, or pedophile, then you're an okay guy.
Yeah, and we're not talking one mistake here. Let's see. I heard Koreans in there, Jews, yes. Gays,
Jews, gays,
blacks,
yes, yeah. Other races,
right? Women,
yeah, feminism.
Yeah, yeah, I mean he pretty much hit them all. Which I said, at least he wasn't picky about it. So that I guess that's good.
Yes. So, basically, Crystal Palace, still without a manager. But, did they win today? Or yesterday? Yeah, no, they lost. So, they're 0-2 on the early campaign.
Well, when you don't have a coach...
That hurts, yeah.
Things are to be suspended.
Well, they actually played very well on the road at Arsenal in the first week. But then they gave up a late winner in the... in stoppage time. Actually, they were up 1-0 in the first half. Then in stoppage time in the first half, they gave up a goal to tie it. And then in stoppage time at the end of the game, they gave up a goal to lose it. So, poor Crystal Palace. They played hard. I'll give them that much.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All things considered, you know, it could be worse.
Yeah, could be worse.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, so basically we think the people that run our football are bad.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that guy yeah, gave now, any
racism that's in European yeah. football. Ugh.
He gave our best scandals a run for their money there. I got to say, I was impressed.
Yes.
Wow. So let me ask you this, though. Now, is the reaction in Europe the same as it would be over here? Or is it worse, better? They don't
I
care?
I think it's I'd say it's similar because it's Britain.
Yeah.
When it comes to European soccer, the British are still kind of the ones that are a little bit more progressive than the rest of the continent, especially as you go further east. Eastern Europe is not a good place to be if you're an ethnic soccer player.
No.
Unless you enjoy having bananas thrown in your direction.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God.
Players thrown in your direction either.
Wow.
Yeah. But Britain still, you'll find a lot of the English soccer culture that's still kind of racist, but they're still kind of more on the up and up when it comes to that sort of thing.
It's just hard to believe that there are, to throw bananas on the field, that's just awful. I mean, you know, it's just mean. Just mean. It's just.
I forget who did it, but there was some soccer player, I think it was in Europe. Somebody threw a banana towards him. He picked it up and ate it.
I've seen video of that, actually. Yeah. I don't remember. I couldn't tell you who it was, but I do know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, hey, there you go.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, for the final things, do you want to talk about Linda Cohn suing an ice rink?
I heard about this.
San Francisco 49ers.
And their turf?
Their turf and their new stadium, the features in it. Or the Blue Jays taking on Creighton.
Let's end on a logo note and go with the Blue Jays and Creighton. Mike, what's your vote?
Yes, we can talk about that.
All right.
All right. So the Toronto Blue Jays are suing the University of Creighton for what they think is infringement on their copyrights of being a Blue Jay. There's a link to the article from our own mothership, sportslogo.net, written by our overlord, Chris Kramer.
All hail Chris Kramer and his benevolent regime.
that Mike just happens to be a part of.
Yes. Comparing the Blue Jays logo, the two different Blue Jays, I don't know if Toronto really has a case here.
Here's the thing. Toronto does have a case because Iowa won that lawsuit against Southern Miss. And those two logos were much more different than these two logos.
Well, if you're using that as precedent, sure. But I got to be – to me, the biggest thing in a copyright suit is will one logo be confused for the other? Now, but here's the thing you got to think about too. We're thinking of it in terms of how we see things, not the general public. We would spot that and go, they're not even close.
Well, first off, the Blue Jays are facing different directions, and one has a maple leaf.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
Let me tell you something about, you know, the general audience. When the Blue Jays updated their logo to their current one, my mom said, I'm glad they're going back to the older look. I didn't like their last logo. It looked like the Seahawks logo.
The angry Blue Jay?
Yes.
With the black?
Yes, she thought that was too much like the Seahawks. Oh. So I'm just saying, my mom, not a logo nerd at all, I could definitely see your general audience, who's not us, seeing that Crichton logo and thinking there's enough of a Blue Jay similarity. On top of that, something to consider. First of all, if anyone from the boards is listening and you're in the thread and you're posting that thread, look, it doesn't matter which logo you think is better, okay?
Yeah.
The objective analysis of which design you think is better doesn't stand up in court.
And
so
I think they're both fine.
Enough of that.
I think
enough of that.
Good enough Blue Jays. I mean, it's a Blue Jay. What do you want it to look like?
That's a fair point, too. But again, like I said, usually the biggest thing in a copyright suit is can they be confused for each other?
Right.
I do believe that the typical average everyday fan could look at the one on the left, which would be the Creighton logo, and think that's a Toronto Blue Jays logo.
Well, this is the way that the the legal wording in the suit is red. Crane's Jay design mark is comprised of a blue jay bird head design in profile with its crest raised in a manner similar to the Toronto's Jay's design marks. The complaint continues, Crane's design is formed by thick, clean lines and outlines with no gradient or shading, resulting in a bold, two-dimensional mark that is highly similar to the designs contained in certain of Toronto's Jay's design marks.
Here's the thing I see with Creighton. There's the crest, and then there's also the decision to end the bottom part of the logo in a point.
Well, you're ending in a point. Well, it's not just ending in a point, but you also see kind of I don't know what you would call that. Like, there's kind of a jut mm-hmm. on the side of the
right, yeah,
mm-hmm. where the cutoff is. There's kind of a jagged yep. edge, which is similar, I guess. There are similar attributes, no doubt. I'm not going to deny that there's similar things.
Well, let me throw this in too. But
yeah.
On first glance, yes, someone could mistake that. But side by side, would you confuse them for each other? Not in a million years.
Right.
You're not going to confuse them side by side, but that's not what the case is about.
But that's not what the case is about. But if you're such an idiot, though, that if you go out and buy a Blue Jays hat thinking it represents Creighton, or you go out and buy a Creighton Blue Jays sweatshirt and thinking you're getting Toronto, then that's your problem.
Well, and where, honestly, okay, Creighton, you're in the Big East, you have a pretty decent basketball team, but are people buying Creighton Blue Jays stuff nationally, or are they buying the Creighton stuff around Creighton, in and around the community of the university?
There's the biggest thing, though, that people need to keep in mind about this is that the way that trademark law works, if you don't actively defend your trademarks, then you lose the right to defend them.
Right.
So
yeah.
This could be a case of maybe the Blue Jays lawyers saying, look, maybe we're not going to be confused. Maybe our brand's not going to be confused with this other brand, but it's close enough that we need to take legal action so we can continue to protect our trademarks in the future.
Because the way
that trademark laws work, the Blue Jays kind of have to do this.
Well, now, is it just a matter of a cease and desist thing? What's their goal in this? Is that to get them to get rid of this logo?
What's probably going to happen is what happened with the Iowa Southern Miss lawsuit, where Southern Miss was allowed to keep their Golden Eagle logo, but the only time that they can use it is when it's paired with text so that no one mistakes it for Iowa.
Well, I think that's a fair compromise, I think.
So what's probably going to happen is that Creighton will continue to use this logo, but it will have to either be paired with the Creighton C or with the Creighton Blue Jays wordmark so that there's absolutely no mistaking it for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I don't think that's an unreasonable request at all.
Yeah, and if you scroll down further in the article, it's funny because Creighton's baseball team
right, I was just going to bring
in the
that
90s
up.
Used the Maple Leaf or the Blue Jays logo, but
with the Maple
didn't
Leaf.
Even yeah, they didn't even
they didn't
take out
the
Maple
Leaf.
they didn't even bother. They just said, "Oh yeah, Blue Jay on the uniform. Fine, no big deal." They used the Blue Jay on their chest, and they also used whatever you want to call it
the wishbone C,
whether you want to attribute it to the Chicago Bears or Cincinnati Reds
or the old Indians for that matter. Back
or
in the
old Indians.
But I'll tell you what this uniform looks like. Okay. It looks like they took an old Indians uniform, made the C white in the hat, took the red stripe away from the 70s pullover blue jersey the Indians used to wear, threw Creighton across the front, and threw the Blue Jays logo on it.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think it's an unreasonable request from the Toronto Blue Jays to make them make sure that they distinguish between the two.
Right. And I think what you said, Mike, with them putting Creighton underneath it at all times, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, again
– I mean, that's – that's the only way I've ever seen it, really. If you had just showed me the Blue Jay head, like, if you just showed me the two Blue Jay heads side by side, then I would have said, oh, is that like an alternate mark that was never released?
Right.
But yeah, okay.
You see, that's kind of.
I take everything I said back.
Yeah, because that kind of goes to Toronto's point, yeah. You know?
Yep. It's just the profiles. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, so, but yeah, you know, it's, I like it, though. I think they did a good job on it. It's a cool logo, and I'm usually not one big one on that type of logo, but I think they did a real nice job with it. Not crazy about the font they used, but what are you going to do?
They didn't have to make the eye look mean, but yeah. It is.
Well, Blue Jays are mean. That's a wily bird, man.
Blue Jays are mean, but they lack the facial muscles needed to scowl.
Yeah.
Says you.
But I used to know a guy that had a pet Blue Jay. I'd never seen anything like it before. He kept it in a cage like a regular, like you would a canary or a parakeet or something. Yeah.
Huh.
But those birds are nuts. From what I understand, they rob other birds. They take, like, robin's eggs and drop them out of the nest and lay their own eggs in there, and then the robins raise the blue jays, I guess. I don't know how the hell it works.
Blue jays are super territorial, and they will dive bomb people if they perceive them territory.
They're nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we done?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, you know all the stuff. Follow us on Twitter, where we never tweet, at Basically Sports. you can go to the website, basicallyasportsshow.com. Email us at basicallyasportsshow@gmail.com. Mike, let's plug the next episode of Basically a Geek Show.
I'm going to give my reviews of Guardians of the Galaxy and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, you finally saw?
I finally saw both over the past 2 days when I was out of town. So
We will also have the Basically a Football Show preview shows coming up very soon, I imagine.
I think we might just have to record one this week.
Yeah, I think we probably will. And just a real quick note for the very few of you that are interested, I'll be doing another classic rock cast. This time it's just me playing songs that you may not have ever heard that are really, really good. And on that note, we're going to call it a night. So any final thoughts, guys?
No.
Go Chargers.
Go Chargers. Go.
San Diego.
Yeah, I got nothing. We're in a dead spot. The Angels are about to take over first place in the West.
Yes.
As I predicted they would.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Oh, and let's just real quick, let's do our Kansas City Royals update. Up 2 games over the Detroit Tigers.
Kansas City Royals are going to be hosting ESPN nationally televised games this week.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're on Monday against the Yankees and Sunday against the Indians.
You're a real boy now, Pinocchio. Look at that.
Yeah.
Okay, and on that note, we're going to call it a night. We will see you all next time right here on Basically a Sports Show.
Bye.
Later.
hang up and try again.